Numbers chapter 27. And I really want to focus your eyes upon verse 17. Well, actually, I'm thinking. Yes, it is verse 17. I want to narrow down, we've read it, but I want to narrow down our mind to this part of Moses' prayer or request. And you can see there at the end of his prayer, he says that, this is what it says, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. That's Moses' desire, his care for the people. That the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And really, as we look again at this passage and that particular prayer, I want to really just make two points. The first point is simply that the Lord gives his people shepherds. He does do this. And the second point that I want to make is that the Lord is the chief. The Lord himself is the chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd. So two points, two things to think about. First of all, the Lord does give his people shepherds. But then secondly, it is the Lord himself who is the chief shepherd or the good shepherd. And the application of this to us is that we must follow them and follow him. He has given us them and himself that we may walk in his ways and effectively follow Christ. Now, first of all then, the passage that we have read begins with the death of Moses. The death of Moses. And perhaps I should say this, that the Lord has told Moses that it is time for him to die. But he has about 1 month, and before he goes up the mountain, he is going to speak to them what we have in Deuteronomy. But that's just on the side for a moment. The time has come for him to die. The time has come for him to die. And when we think about this in the text, we are faced, we're brought face to face with the sovereignty of God. It's the sovereignty of God. The Bible is very clear in Deuteronomy that Moses' natural strength had not run out. He wasn't actually going to die because he got so old that he couldn't walk up the mountain. No, the Bible is very clear. He had not run out of strength and health. What had happened is that the Lord had appointed this time for him to die. It's this very sobering that the Lord appoints the day of your death and the day of your birth. Your times are in his hands. My times are in his hands. And this, which is what is true of Moses, is true for us all. We all have to reckon with this, that our lives are at God's disposal. He is the sovereign. He gives life, he takes it away. I was looking for a verse in Acts, it's Acts 13, where it talks about David. It says, David says, after he had served the Lord in his generation, fell asleep. And there is so much in this. Can you see what's happening? God gave David a period of time in which he could serve him, and then it ended. That was the end. You may serve me for this amount of time, and then no more. And really, this is actually something that we need to take account of, that while we have life, God has given us that opportunity to serve him, but it will end. It says in Hebrews 7 that there were many priests, but they were all prevented from death by death from continuing. The reason why there were many is because they kept dying. And you know, if you turn to the beginning of the book of Joshua, the Lord, Moses is now died, and the Lord says to Joshua, "My servant Moses is dead. Now get up and lead the people into the land." That's a bit of a paraphrase, but it's so blunt, isn't it? "My servant Moses is dead. Now you go and lead them in." And it's a kind of humbling thing, you know, that it's as if God is saying, Moses is not indispensable. Moses is dead, but my work goes on. My servant Moses is dead, lead the people into the land. And we need to, when we begin with this portion of the scriptures, we need to realize that your life, my life, God has appointed an end to it. It is his decision, his sovereign right to end our lives. And we need to reckon with that. Now, the thing is, with Moses, of all the things, his death was also a judgment of God. It says there in the text, in verse 14, it says, "This is why, Moses, you're going to die now, and this is why you're not going to lead them into the land." These are the words, "Because you did not hallow me before their eyes." There was a moment. If you think of Moses' life, we know so much about him. We see him as a baby being preserved from death in the rushes of the Nile. We see him some years later coming to the burning bush and being called to serve the Lord. We see him going into Pharaoh and bringing the people of Israel out and then leading them through the wilderness. All of that immense service. But there was a moment in the middle of that time, in all the ministry of Moses, in all the time that he served the Lord, there was a moment when he did not hallow the Lord before the eyes of the congregation. And for the Lord, that was something that could not be passed over. Somewhere else the Lord says, "My glory I will not give to another. I will not give my glory to another." And I say to you, just considering now the death of Moses, as we begin in this passage, it is a very sobering thing to see. It should sober every minister of the Word of God. It should sober up every elder, every deacon, yes, and every Christian. The time God has allotted to you is short. The opportunity to serve him is brief. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. And what is more, in all that you do, give God the glory. Serve him to hallow him, and not just in your hearts, but before the eyes of the people. There are lessons here that we need to learn. But tonight I want to take you further than that and look with you at Moses' prayer. And really, the prayer is in verses 16 and 17. You can see it there. "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." That's his prayer. You see, he asks the Lord to appoint a man. And in this passage, there is some description of the kind of man that Moses seeks to be appointed. He is a man in whom the Holy Spirit is at work. He is a man who sets an example by his behavior. He doesn't speak to the congregation. He leads them out and he brings them in. In other words, this is the kind of leader that is out in front. He's not driving the flock from behind, but he is running first. And really, I want to look at this prayer, and now I want to say to you that the Lord's answer to this prayer had two parts. There was a twofold answer to this prayer. The first part was Joshua. The second part was Jesus. So let the Lord set a man over his congregation. Do not let your church be as a flock that has no shepherd. The first and immediate answer was the gift of Joshua. But the great answer was the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very interesting, you know, that the Hebrew word Joshua also appears in the Old Testament as Jesus. Yehoshua, Yeshua. It's the same name. The Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. And I remind you tonight that in Moses' ministry, he was looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go through scripture, you go back to men like Abraham. Abraham was looking forward to the time of Christ. Abraham saw my day, says Jesus. He rejoiced to see my day. Moses says to them, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. And him you shall hear in everything that he says to you. He's thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. King David, in his day, he speaks of his greater son. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. And all of these great servants of the Lord were looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, first of all then, the Lord gives pastors or shepherds to his flock. That's the first thing. The Lord gives his servants to his people. And this is one of the, if you like, this is the surface meaning of this passage. Moses is dying, the Lord provides Joshua, and we see there the Lord is providing pastors or leaders, shepherds, for his people. And we use a word for these men. We call them under shepherds. We call these men under shepherds. And you know why we do that? Because they are servants of the Lord, who is the shepherd. And across the pages of Scripture, the apostles, the prophets, they remind us that the Lord gives gifts to his church. He gives gifts of men to his church, apostles, prophets, pastors and teachers. He gives those to his people. And they are precious gifts of Christ. Nevertheless, each one of those gifts must say to himself and the people, I must decrease, he must increase. All right? But despite this balance, they are valuable and yet they are nothing compared with Christ. But despite, to hold these two things in tension, nevertheless, the Lord asks his people to heed the gifts that he has given them. You can find this across the pages of the New Testament. In one place he says to his apostles, he who receives you receives me. He who receives you receives me. And he really is saying, those who despise the ones that I have sent are despising me. And when they despise me, they are despising the Lord. And so the first part of the answer and I'll be brief. The first part of the answer is that the Lord gave Israel Joshua, and he has given them others too: Samuel, the prophets, David, the apostles, the prophets, the elders of the churches. He has given them these men, and he has sent them to teach in his name. That is what he has done. But then, secondly, and this is where I'm going with this, there is one chief shepherd. There is one good shepherd. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He was the head of the church under, if like the Old Testament, he is the head of the church under the New. Jesus Christ has always been the shepherd of his people. Now listen, Moses knew it. When Moses was leading Israel through the desert, he himself knew that they were being led by the pillar of cloud and fire. When Moses gave his orders, he gave them literally by the mouth of the Lord. In other words, he took the command of the Lord and then commanded the people. He says in Deuteronomy, let me look at it. Deuteronomy, he says this: "Do not forget the Lord your God," right, listen, "who led you through that great and terrible wilderness." See, Moses is saying, never forget the Lord. He led you through that great and terrible wilderness. Amos, the prophet Amos, says the same. Listen to these words from Amos. Listen. If I can turn quickly to them. Amos says this: the Lord is speaking through Amos. He says, "Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorites before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was as strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit from above and his roots beneath. Also, it was I who brought you up out of the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. I raised up some of your sons as prophets," and so on. Amos is saying to the people, never forget that it is the Lord who led them all the way through. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, "And the rock that followed them was Christ." In other words, when you look back at Israel as Moses and they came out of Egypt, all the way along the road, Christ was with his people. He was the rock, and Paul says, the rock that followed them. In other words, the one that went with them and gave them spiritual drink. But Christ, Moses knew, Christ was the leader of his people. The Lord was the leader of his people. And then when Joshua took over, Joshua had to learn the same lesson. When he came to the very first place, Jericho, and the night before Jericho was to be attacked, who did he meet? A man with a drawn sword in his hand. And he asked him a ridiculous question with hindsight: "Are you for us or for them?" And the answer came back: "I'm not for you, you are for me. This is the captain of the hosts of the Lord. This is Christ." Joshua had been appointed, but Christ was the leader. Have you thought about what Jesus said to the Apostle Peter? You can see it in John chapter 21. The Lord Jesus speaks to Peter. Peter, one of his apostles. What does he say to him? "Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me?" Listen to these words: "Feed my sheep." Feed my sheep. That's what it is to be an under shepherd of the good shepherd. They're his sheep, and the servants must feed them for him. Feed my sheep. That same apostle Peter later speaks to the elders of the church in exactly the same terms. Listen, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder," listen, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, what must you do? Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. Shepherd them. And he says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Can you see the way the Bible is constantly working at this? You elders, shepherd the flock of God, feed them. But always remember that you have a chief shepherd and they belong to him. They are his flock, not yours. They are not your flock. Paul says to the elders of Ephesus, he says that they must guard and shepherd the flock of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. You see, the sheep have been purchased with the blood of Christ, but he has appointed the elders of Ephesus and the elders of the churches that Peter wrote to, and so on and so forth. He has appointed these shepherds, but he is the chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Now, I go further tonight, and I say this to you, that our chief shepherd, our Lord and shepherd, he rebukes those under-shepherds who harm the flock and lead them astray. He has a rebuke for those who do not care for his sheep. Listen for a moment to what he says through the prophet Jeremiah. He says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture," says the Lord. He says, "I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them." He says, "Behold, the days are coming," says the Lord, "that I will raise to David a righteous branch." All the time he's saying, "You prophets who have misled my people, woe to you, I will shepherd them through my son." He has the same message through Ezekiel. Forgive me for continuing with this for a moment. With Ezekiel, he says this, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" He says, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand." And he goes on to speak, "I myself will search my sheep and seek my sheep and seek them out." All the time, it's the same. Most of you know John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And you know, that is like a kind of war cry against the hirelings and the false shepherds who are harming the flock. Look at the Gospel of John. In chapter 8 we have this woman caught in adultery. And yes, they wanted to stone her. But what does the Lord Jesus do? He takes her and forgives her and rescues her. He rescues the adulteress. This is the good shepherd rescuing her from the wicked hirelings. And then he gives that man born blind his sight. And what do they want to do to that man born blind? They want to cast him out of the synagogue. And Jesus seeks him. And he says, this is what he says, "I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door of the sheep. You enter through me. You enter through me." Can you see how our Lord Jesus Christ is exercised in his office of the shepherd? Let me say this to you. No shepherd can say what Christ, the good shepherd, has said. No one. He says, "I lay down my life for my sheep. I lay down my life for my sheep." Well, can you think about this? That all those years ago, when Moses knew that his time to care for the sheep was coming to an end, he looks forward and he desires one thing: "Lord, don't let your sheep have no shepherd. Don't let them be like a flock that wanders and no one to care for them." And that prayer was answered, first of all, by giving them Joshua, but ultimately by giving them the prophet like Moses, the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. So then what should we do with this tonight? First of all, we in our generation ought to give thanks that the Lord Jesus Christ gives gifts to his church. And we should be careful to receive the word of God from their mouth. He sends them for the benefit of the sheep, and he asks the church to receive the word of God from them, as it is the word of God. Then secondly, for those who are elders and ministers in particular, but not only, then those who preach his word, they are required to toil in that task in order that they hallow God in their ministry. The ministry of the word of God in the church is never intended to be a light and easy thing, because those who take up the word of God are required to honour him before the church. They are required to speak for Christ. They cannot give the church their own ideas. They must speak for him out of the scriptures. But what about all of us? What about all of us? Well, for all of us, we must be found looking to the Good Shepherd. Whatever men he has sent to you, they're not indispensable, but it is indispensable that we have our eyes on Christ, looking unto Jesus is the cry that comes to the church. Looking unto Jesus. Do not take your eyes off him. You know, one day those who have followed him will have great joy. Listen to this. We read in Revelation chapter 7, he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The great thing about the Lord Jesus as our shepherd is that he is our shepherd eternally. Not just for life, it is for life. If we are wise tonight, we will be listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. This is something for life. It is imperative in our life that we listen to what the Lord Jesus is saying, and we do it. We follow him. We follow the Lord. But for those who follow him, his shepherding never ends. An eternity under the care of the Good Shepherd. They will never hunger again, never thirst again. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them to living waters. And that's what gives us confidence in life, isn't it? We can say with David, what can we say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And we can go on, can't we? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we will. We have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And there's much more. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with perfume or with oil. My cup runs over. Those who have Jesus Christ as their shepherd, they have a full cup. And they can say, surely, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.